New jingle, new voices. Welcome to this special guest season of Retrain Your Brain with me, Chartered Psychologist Dr. Audrey Tang. In this season, I am privileged to speak to so many well-being guest experts to learn all about their field and to give you loads of practical tips and tools to live your best life. I'm your host, Dr. Audrey Tang, and it's a very special show tonight because it's Autism Week. And so I am absolutely delighted to welcome back social enterprise entrepreneur, founder of the functional food company and No-No Coco Chocolates, Alessandra Bester. Welcome back to the lounge, Alessandra.
Thank you for having me again. It is an absolute pleasure speaking to you again.
Thank you. It's so much fun to chat with you, and I learned so much. And so I'm really grateful you're back. You've spoken previously about how your company, No-No Coco, was inspired by your son. As a parent, what was it like receiving a diagnosis of autism?
I think the actual diagnosis was a relief. For myself and many parents I know, it's the battle to receive diagnosis. That's the traumatic part. It's the element of being believed that you think that your child is not developing well or that there is something just not right and you can't put your finger on it. And I can stress that many, many parents feel that. And because the standard procedure in the UK is for children to be diagnosed at the age of 3, not before, you have the 3 long years of worry. And the protocol, it's also from the professionals to say that there's nothing wrong with your child when you clearly know it is. And then obviously, as you research and read how much early intervention is important, the pressure to have the diagnosis and put support in place, it's quite overwhelming for parents. The diagnosis itself, it's a relief because you have something to Google, right? You have a label where you can start being proactive, because that's what mums do, right? We want to immediately put our energy into, okay, what can I do? You know, what can be helped with? At the same time, you then have access to resources, and then you have also certain entitlement to as to what support you can get for your child, what intervention can be arranged immediately. And then obviously the pressure it's on for any parents who research autism, the pre 5 years old, it's the gap of opportunity. And so for me, children being diagnosed at the age of 3, it's way too late, in my personal opinion.
You touch on some very important points there about the ways, and absolutely right, how mums need and want to respond. They want to help. They want to problem solve. They want to get involved, and they want the best for their child. And that is a huge amount of pressure with your own mental well-being and your own emotional health.
And that is a tricky work and process part of the being the autism parent. So it's like a chronic condition that you're going to have to manage for the rest of your life, because your child is changing forever. And then the state of alertness, the unpredictability of life, it's ongoing. And even for the parents who have their children living away from home, they've never really stopped having what it's now known as autism. Parents are diagnosed with how they believe their children are to be. So it's a secondary diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's when parents are just so overwhelmed with the child's rigidity that they become very rigid themselves, and it's quite pathological. So I'm wary of that. For my son, at the beginning, a coping mechanism managing my mental health, it's to be proactive. Mm-hmm. So I had this assurance in my head that I felt I was doing my absolute best to do something. So that kind of calmed my nerves, knowing that I'm not going to be waiting for services to emerge. I'm going to be creating services, right? But also that it's kind of a dead end, because what you don't know when your child is diagnosed at the age of 3, that you're going to be doing this for 20, 30, 40, 60 years, and that your energy is not going to last. So there's the burnout where you realize you have to put the mask on yourself for a while, because how can you support your child if you're pouring from empty? And then again, you throw yourself into, well, what can I do next? I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned in terms of my own emotional support is that I was trying to protect my son from this emotional roller coaster I was going through internally. So I really, on the outside, I wore this mask as if nothing is going on the inside. And that caused quite illness inside my body. But also, I noticed by the time my son was 7 or 8 that he was under the impression that the world is like that, that no one is ever upset, no one ever cries, and crying it's a bad thing. And I remember never seeing him crying and always smiling and walking around. You know, he will sit on the bus and see someone sad, and he will walk up to them and put their fingers on their face to try to make them smile, because he thought that's the default. We ought to be happy. Not to mention the fact that the old SEN system, in terms of the use of symbols, the way the work reward works, it's like, you happy, well done, great, cheese, smile. Every picture taking, it's all about smile. So my son thought that it was wrong to be sad, that it was wrong to cry. And I then realized that I have taught him that because I was being so protective. And then I had to teach myself to allow myself to have moods. And through that, he learned it was okay to be sad himself, and it was okay to cry. And took many, many years and him becoming quite severely depressed to finally let it out, because it has to come out somewhere. So it's an interesting lesson that I wish I knew it sooner, to be just normal, teach your child about all sorts of emotion. And being angry with them, it's absolutely normal parenting thing. In fact, I was reflecting on my relationship with my son now and our emotional health. He's 17 now, and I really wanted him to turn around and say, "Mom, I hate you," you know, because that's what teenagers do. And I'm literally, you know, reading him and try to figuring out, am I a good parent or not? Because teenagers send such a mixed messages. So all the things that other parents resent about their children, you know, telling them out loud and correcting their parenting, I have to second guess myself. But it is a work in progress.
What you're saying is really very profound, not just for your relationship with your son who has a diagnosis of autism, but actually for any parental relationship, because children will pick up on what their caregiver is doing, that we role model behaviors. And this is really important that we recognize how much we can influence, I guess.
Children with autism learn through watching what you're doing. So one of the thing about teaching anyone with autism is to show me. So when parents are who they are, they subconsciously teaching without knowing, because children with autism model the behavior that's shown around them. So being self-aware, it's definitely essential.
Yes.
And pressure on yourself, because you have to be always self-aware in a way.
Yes, yes. And so again, you need that form of release, because that's just an added extra thing. What's wonderful is you have been able to bring a lot of this awareness and this growth, the personal growth that you've been through, into No No Coco, which I think is fantastic. And you work with a lot of autistic women. Is it just women?
We've had all sorts of gender, because right. Here you can't really go male, female anymore. And they are very, very different. It's just so happened that now I'm kind of prioritizing autistic women because they are a little bit undervalued and overlooked in a yes. community.
Yes. One of the things that you've been doing is this lockdown project where you've invited artists to design for your chocolate bars. That's amazing. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes. So lockdown has really changed what the Team No-No was about, which was, very much social prescribing, sitting around kitchen table talking and working with chocolate, and that's very therapeutic. You know, someone coming in and go through the process of, you know, speaking their mind first and then becoming calm enough to decorate very tiny chocolates and leaving very relaxed. And it was a form of a group therapy that, you know, we've never labeled that. And obviously lockdown took that away and everyone was in their bedroom somewhere. And I felt like work doesn't need to stop, that perhaps a lot of people are not able to physically come to work, but there are a lot of people all over the UK that I haven't been able to access sooner because of a distance, and I cannot invite them to come to work physically with chocolate. But what I can do is to recruit them remotely. And then apart from having animators and bloggers and my PA, it's autistic, who I've never met, and, you know, she's in Dorset, etc. I thought there's so many autistic artists who are, you know, extremely talented and very unique, and their work, it's fascinating, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be promoted so that they can be commissioned like anyone else. And obviously the thought of having some fancy designers designing things for a product like chocolate, it's all wonderful, but it doesn't really have the same value and impact than when you literally take each chocolate bar and you plaster it with someone's work, giving them like a gallery, an opportunity to be seen in the first place, and then perhaps someone somewhere loves their work and it's going to either buy a print or commission them for something else. It kind of equalizes who is included in the designing world and who is value. And so the first bar that we launch, we actually call Diversity.
Yeah.
And it really represents who we are as a company. So women and men of all sorts of gender, shapes, color, sizes, ethnicity, beliefs. And the bar inside, it's a rainbow. And the slogan for the bar, it's something that we all very well known from Forrest Gump. My mama always says that life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. And that's exactly what the bar is about. Each bite just takes you to a different place because it's rainbow and it's so many different flavors and so many hidden things inside. And this was done by an artist from Isle of Man, and she does incredible work. Then came the bar Strong for someone that I've met online, autistic mom, extremely strong and very independent and outspoken person who I admire. And today we are launching a very special bar called Adventure. The other artists we work with, we could communicate with and engage, and they are independent. Where Frances, she's severely autistic. Her mom is her advocate, and she is extraordinary artist. I encourage everyone to check her at Illustrate My Bike on Instagram, because apart from this incredible precision drawings and her productivity, like she's producing so much artwork, she also does this incredible wooden sculptures, which are out of the world, something you've never seen before. And she's the hidden artist who will never come to life if it wasn't for her mom's relentless effort to make her artwork visible. And this kind of talent, no one is looking for it, but it should be available. And if there's any art agent who would want to represent the autistic community, there's definitely an incredible opportunity. So I'm very proud of all these ladies, and there's much more to come. And at the end of it, we are hoping to create an exhibition of all their work and announce it on social media. So if you subscribe to our social media channel, you'll be kept updated. But most of all, I encourage everyone to support and buy those bars, because those ladies really rely on that and benefit from it and tell everyone about it, because like I said, they are somewhere far away in their bedroom, unknown, doing something incredible that you're going to love it.
I think that's absolutely beautiful, and it's lovely because we've got two members of your team Gemma and Gabby here to chat a little bit more with us. Now, Gabby, welcome to the lounge and thank you for joining us. Please, can you tell me a little bit about your diagnosis and how working with Nono Coco has been helping you?
Well, I had a bit of a lead up to that because I was misdiagnosed about twice, and it only took my ex-husband's mother to say, well, there's this amazing guy in Birmingham who can find out more information. So aged 30, just having had my second child, I was diagnosed in a private clinic in Birmingham, and I was diagnosed after about two or three sessions with Asperger's. They first thought it was ADHD, then they thought it was ADD, then they thought it was such a variety of things. And I'm very good at hiding things, masking them. It's like putting makeup on and that's it. Working here for me is actually a therapy. It's very calming, it's very relaxing. She'll set me 100 things to do, you know, pile up the chocolate and say, right, do this with this, this with that. I get on with it. It's delightful. She relates to me. We understand each other, and there's no taboo, there's no holding back. She just understands you, and she understands anybody who has a disability. I don't want to call it special needs. I think that should be wiped out of the dictionary.
Agreed. You know,
it's just not right. It doesn't make sense. Special needs. What special needs? You think about it, it doesn't even make sense.
That leads me on to the next question, Gabby, in fact. Would there be other specific challenges that you would have otherwise struggled with?
Oh, yeah. I didn't used to live in this country up until about 2 years ago. I lived abroad. And working in the kitchen in another country, I had to be bilingual, which I am. I'm trilingual.
Wow.
I know, I speak Spanish and Hebrew.
Amazing.
And English. It was a challenge because I had to talk in two languages at the same time. So, and I had to understand, but I couldn't concentrate. My lack of concentration was pretty crap. I had to listen to what they wanted. Like if they wanted something a little bit more challenging, I had to think, okay, how am I going to do that? There was so many major steps and challenges that it was too much for me to undertake. They didn't understand me as a person and my challenges. And that is horrific because they took on anybody who catered for everybody, you know, whether it be disability, whether it be a language barrier. But with me, I had quite a variety of things, and that's what made it challenging. I can't just go in to have an office job. That's not me. You know, I'm somebody who likes to be flexible and free. Here, I've got that option. Now, don't get me wrong, I do my work, but we have fun at work.
The one thing that I will stress is that having a someone like Gabby working for Team Nono, it's not that you give them all the freedom and no job gets done. It's nothing like that. It's about the clarity of instruction, the relationship, and also for Gabby particularly, how many people are in a kitchen? Because sometimes the social group, it's grouping and who is speaking to whom, it's so destructive and overwhelming. So she works better one-to-one with me. Today she's been teaching Gemma. So less information to process, better focus. Yeah. So the adjustment for someone like Gabby are very small. For someone like Gemma are very different because Gemma has cerebral palsy. She's hearing impaired, but she's
amazing.
Hearing aid, but she's amazing. No one brings more enthusiasm to work than Gemma.
And we
does.
Have a giggle. We have a giggle together.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, if you take life too seriously, nothing will ever get done because you'll be trying to understand the instructions, how to do this. The list is endless. And it's just like, where do you stop? Where do you start?
Absolutely. That's a good philosophy for life. Now, Gabby, just if there was one thing you would like employers to understand about working with neurodiverse people, what would it be?
give us a chance. Understand us. Listen to us.
It sums it all up. Because for people who've never ever had Gabi in a kitchen, wouldn't know how skillful she is, that her only obstacle is the social interaction, where actual the work performance, the knowledge about food, the ability to do task, manual ability are extraordinary. So if someone was to give her a chance in the first place, it will actually see that there's more to that person than what they judge in
Alice
instant.
Is lucky to have me, and I'm happy. I'm very happy, lucky to have Alice.
But
you know what, though? You know what, though? This goes back a couple of generations. I not only do chocolate here, but I make my own food because I live on my own. But I make these very naughty lemon biscuits. They're like this small, they're tiny, and she will eat them. Yeah, the last batch, I think Ethan hoovered some up.
See, I'm really hungry now. You're now making me want to eat. And let's just go to Gemma for 1 second. And Gemma, what one thing are you really looking forward to at work?
Working here. You do like working here? And what do you like about working here?
Working here.
Yes,
she loves Alice.
I think from Gemma's mom, she talks about me a lot, and I think my work with Gemma goes many years. She's been with us for over 5 years now, so she's the founding member of Team Nono, and she is certain she's the best as well. She's very confident. Very confident.
I think we all need to be more Gemma.
And Alice gives us all a chance to do something,
yeah.
You know?
However small.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hidden talents and a lot of skills that comes out. You know, for instance, one thing that I did not expect from Gabi that emerged on the top of all the things that she was recruited for, that, you know, she's actually very good at giving feedback because she's quite honest. Ultimately, as a business person, that's what you want. You don't want to create something that you like, that no one else likes, and the feedback to come from customers. It's better if it comes from the team.
Yes.
Honesty is the best policy.
Mm.
Where can we find out more? Where can we buy this, the chocolates, especially the new bars that you're launching with the one artwork?
So you can find us on Instagram at nonococouk, and our website is nono-coco.com, and our podcast is Nono Limits.
No.
Thank you so much, Alice.
Thank you so much,
Gabi and Gemma. Thank you.
And that's all we have time for. But if you'd like to find out more, do go to my website, which is www.draudreytea.com, and check out my articles, which give you practical tools to live your best life. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Audrey Tang, Tools to Thrive.